Chapter 17. Is it working? New email from Chip Collins to Julie Taylor. Date, February 29, 2020. Subject, is it working? Hi, Julie. For a moment, I'm proud of my little prediction about not making it, although it was an easy prediction. Easy odds. I mean, look at us. 8 rapidly aging masters of interdimensional travel, practically hobbling down the hallway on canes, complaining about our bursitis and our next colonoscopy appointment and how Mildred cheats at bingo. It's this feeble gang of misfits versus the paradox, a force of nature so powerful it rips ITA doors right off their hinges and can collapse every timeline in the multiverse, like it's doing right now. We are screwed. Suddenly, our fall turns into a slide, then a gentle curve, and I open my eyes and realize we're in a chute. And that can only mean one thing. Glitter Girl! Remember back with the blue juice thing, those creatures who could manipulate perception to alter the framework of the ITA? And she could mirror back to you what you wanted to see? And make chutes and shortcuts and back doors in here? Yeah, it's her! We dogpile to a stop at the bottom of the chute. Under normal circumstances, that would be hilarious. And Glitter Girl looks down at us, all mirrors everywhere. And if she had a mouth, she'd laugh. But she knows we're in a rush. No, not a rush. The rush. And hurries and helps us get the sled back together, and points us to the left, like a school crossing guard. Me and Pete heft Tesla and Marie back on board, and before we push off, I run up to Glitter Girl and kiss her cheek. Thanks, you rock. And she pats my head and pushes me away. And as we get up momentum and once again zoom down the hallway, I sneak a peek back at her, as she's engulfed in orange, angry flames. Oh, dear Lord.
The door, here it is!
Hannah's waving the in-controller at dimension number 23469859439468. Thank God. Gigi, hands shaking, enters 0000 on the lock and throws the door open. We rush in and close it just before the paradox flames reach us. Not that it's much better in Tesla's 1947 hotel room. The ITA door is closed, yes, but the paradox tear here is more than 3/4 around the doorway and growing.
Hurry, let's put the merd together.
Without Calvin to supervise, we look like a bunch of apes standing around the obelisk from 2001, A Space Odyssey, until Marie finally shouts,
Unpack the third crate! Assemble the coupler! Engage the battery! Pete and Bob, please enter containers 1 and 2! Go! Go!
She's giving this the last of her energy, bless her ancient and failing heart, and she actually gets up from her sitting place on the hover sled and helps us. Pete and Barb cross themselves simultaneously and smile at each other, like that final goodbye smile, and tears are making their way down Barb's cheek, and Pete whispers, I'll be right here, next to you. Look, Marie even put a tube down here, so we can hold hands. And they kneel down, then lay, and reach through the tube and clutch each other's fingers for dear life.
No, not there, here!
Marie's barking orders like a drill sergeant, and slowly but surely, while the paradox grows just a few feet away, we reconstruct this insane Rube Goldberg device. Wires and tubes and a box with a double-shielded tube of just dangerous enough to kill everything within a mile, radium, and 2 coffins. I look through the window of the one nearest me. You hanging in there, Aunt Barb? She's shaking.
Can I have one last Pall Mall?
Marie scolds her.
Are you crazy? This device and its fuel are so volatile you'll have to be insane!
And she looks around at the end of everything.
Oh, what the hell? Why not?
And she takes 2 cigarettes out of Barb's purse, lights them, opens Barb's coffin, and hands her one, then clamps it shut and takes a drag of the other one.
Ah, Pall Mall, my favorite. You know it was a game played.
Yeah, back in old-timey Paris. Got it. We ready, Marie? She nods. I look down. I can see Pete. He gives me a thumbs up, but Barb's now hidden in a cloud of cigarette smoke. I assume she's in there and fine now that she's literally smoking like a chimney. The battery is heating the radium, or doing something. I swear, they explained this whole thing to me 12 times, and every single time I was like, why are you wasting your breath? There's not a test at the end, is there? I'm not going for my radiology degree. And the lights above the little toggle switches all turn green. Marie drops her cigarette to the floor and puts it out with her toe, reaches over to the switches.
Nicola, in honor of my lost little Calvin, will you help me do the honors?
He stands, stiff and awkward, and walks over to us.
Yes, Marie, it would be my honor. 3, 2, 1. Wait, are we going on 1 or go?
Go.
Are you telling me that's when we'll do it, or are you actually saying go?
He smiles, still a chuckle left in the old man, and winks at her. Go. And they flick all the toggle switches. Silence. Tesla and Marie stare at each other.
Marie, I hadn't calculated the sonic vibrations the Merd would make. It is awfully quiet. I cannot believe I am asking this, but is it working?
She raises an eyebrow.
I don't know.
And as if in answer, a voice starts talking from somewhere in the mess of tubes and wires and radium. It's Calvin.
Ahem. If this recording is playing, it means I did not make the party to tell you all in person. Too bad. I would have loved to see the looks on your faces. Not that I hate you. Don't take it personally. It's not a personal vendetta. But as a species, you just don't get it, do you? Even Marie, Madame Curie, my dear surrogate mother, I loved you. I truly did. But you couldn't nurture out of me the desire, oh, as much love as you gave me. You couldn't extinguish this white, hot desire that's been smoldering in my heart since the day I was born, for self-destruction. It almost worked. I've tried, believe me. But in fact, it's only gotten hotter. I don't love myself for what I am. I've struggled my entire life with it. But I am what I am. So no, the intricate, genius, multiverse-saving device we built will not work, not now or ever. I made some last-minute adjustments to ensure that. And regrettably, I won't be able to join you while you watch it all burn. I start ripping out wires and shit, trying to stop Calvin.
Shut up, you fucking nihilist dinosaur! You fucking killed us! You killed us all!
I'm weeping now, weeping for everyone in the room, my daughter, my friend, my mentor, for you, Julie, and for everyone that will never know another day.
You fucking killed us, you piece of shit!
I'm banging on the device, pulling it apart, breaking it to pieces.
No, no, it can't be over.
I turn in a rage to Tesla, wild-eyed.
Tell me it's not over.
He's crying now, too. I've never seen him cry. Maybe he's never cried before, but now it's the last thing he'll ever do. I stop raging and hold his face in my hands.
Nicola, tell me it's not over, please.
He looks into my eyes, tears streaming down both our faces.
Master Chip, I have failed. I have come all this way, only to fail.
He sobs and searches my eyes, and something changes. I'm watching the man I've admired more than any other, the father I didn't have as I reached manhood, the guy who saved me more times than I can count, in more ways than I can count, wither in front of me, claiming he's a failure. Nikola Tesla, a failure. No. That will not be the last thing that happens.
Nicola, listen, you didn't fail.
He's shaking his head, wheezing now.
You didn't fail. Look at what you've created, everywhere. You invented it all. You even invented a portal to the multiverse.
I'm wiping his tears as he looks down and his head relaxes in my hands.
And you invented me.
He looks up, raises an eyebrow.
Yes, you invented me, Nicola. Look who I am today. I've grown so much and loved so much. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't thank my lucky stars I found you. I mean, look how much pizza you let me eat. No, really, I'm not kidding. I've become who I am thanks to you.
Now he's wiping my tears.
If it were so, Chip, you would be my greatest achievement. I love you, son.
And he leans forward, tussles my hair, and kisses me on my forehead.
Gigi approaches and puts her arms around both of us.
And suddenly her voice is in my head, and Nicola's. The three of us are connected telepathically.
Nicola, Dad, we didn't fail. And I don't mean in a metaphorical way. I mean in a literal way. Listen.
By now the others have joined our circle, all surrounding and holding Tesla. Marie, distraught now not only from Calvin's death but by his betrayal, weeping on Tesla's shoulder. And Pete and Barb out from their coffins, and Hannah, sweet, silent Hannah, all in this last embrace. Gigi has added their minds to our little mental conference call. It's scary as hell, actually, but beautiful at the same time.
I don't know how I know this, guys, but I do. The Merd was never going to work. It wasn't supposed to work. Nicola, you and Marie pursued that solution because it made sense in the physical world. The unfolding multiverse. It made sense that the paradox was a problem to solve. She smiles, a hopeful smile at the center of the end, and she strokes Tesla's hair and speaks out loud.
Nicola, the paradox isn't the problem. The paradox is the solution.
He looks at her, confused. Man, I've never seen him confused either. It's a weird look for him, like a second-grade teacher whose student just showed him the theory of relativity scribbled in her composition notebook. The gears start turning again. I can see them in his eyes, thank God, but he can't quite get the answer.
Gigi, if the paradox is the solution, what is the problem?
Barb. We all turn to Barb.
Me?
And she faints. Barb go boom.
The paradox is the solution to an even more primary problem, an enfolding problem. Just like the Bobos say, there is a dance of free will and destiny. We have shaped our own lives and saved the multiverse, all through our own free will. But there was a deeper destiny that was broken, a deeper balance that was off, and Barb is the key.
A light bulb goes on in my head. It's a dim one, but I'm still counting it as a light bulb.
Paris? Yes, Dad. Great Aunt Barb was meant to be in Paris in 1182. Her existence in our dimension, on this timeline, was a mistake. Now, I don't know how the unfolding multiverse makes a mistake like that, but she was supposed to get married to Prince Jean a very long time ago and have children, and their children was supposed to have children, and on and on and on.
Why?
I'm not sure. I can't see the future. It hasn't unfolded yet. But the vibe I get is that it has something to do with me, being a mother.
Whoa, my 2-year-old daughter is talking about having kids already. Ah, they grow up so fast.
She grins and turns back again to Tesla. So you, Nicola, by creating the interdimensional transfer apparatus and accidentally creating a paradox and collapsing all timelines and dimensions, have given the deeper part of the multiverse, the enfolding part, a way to get Barb back where she belongs. You didn't fail. You succeeded.
Tesla exhales and smiles wide, a winning smile. And then he shuts his eyes and slumps in my arms. I lead him to the nearest chair, his farting chair, and sit with his frail form across my lap. Please don't go, Nicola. Please don't go. I'm rocking him back and forth, back and forth. I try to send him a little telepathic thought, but I get no response. I look up to Gigi.
Is he gone?
She nods. But then she tells me a story, one of Nicola's animal stories, using her mind in his voice.
Once there was a squirrel. He pranced from tree limb to tree limb, exploring his little world, gathering nuts, chasing girl squirrels, and making hay for all to see. One day he was surprised to find his mother in a bundle on the ground. "Mother, are you all right?" he asked. But she wasn't. She had passed away in the night. The little squirrel was heartbroken and lived many days in a sad, lonely state. His friends left him. Even the light he carried around in his heart left him. He was nothing, almost. Then one morning, a light shone in his window, the light of a new day, streaming in, surprising him with its brilliance. And he realized that life is an honorable thing, just the everyday living of life. It honors the ones we've left behind, and honors the living, too, and time, and the heavens. So he walked out of his little home, for the first time in a while, and stretched and scampered down the tree to the ground, where once again he stood at the place where his mother lay buried. I will live on, Mother, and I will remember that you loved me above all things. He listened closely, for he thought he heard her voice whispering in his ear. She said, "Then I shall live forever."
Gigi reaches down and says aloud,
"There's a lot I don't know, Dad. But I know we live forever."
Wow, Julie, it's official. Our little daughter has become something beyond our wildest dreams, something even more than a master of interdimensional travel. I don't even know what she's become actually, but I'm literally in awe. We're all sitting or standing around watching her. She's almost glowing. Marie sits in the little chair by the window and whispers,
"Thank you, Gigi, for the hope."
And age finally takes her. And she closes her eyes and drifts into forever along with Nicola. The orange tear reaches the end of the doorway and engulfs it in flame. The door falls into the hallway with a thud. Spidering out from the doorway, the paradox rips the wallpaper, reaching across towards us. That's my cue. Barb, come with me. She reaches down, waking Aunt Barb from her daze, and pulls her up standing. Pete, say goodbye.
Pete, faltering from age, coughs and protests. No, I should do it. It was supposed to be me and Barb, the two of us. That little electric arc or whatever it was, it won't work without the two of us.
Gigi's hands rest on his shoulders. Uncle Pete, sorry to tell you this, but it's not you. She takes Barb's arm and holds up her wrist, the bracelet jangling. It was the charm, the heart charm. It was telling the paradox it had done its job. The two copies were together again. But they aren't yet, are they?
Pete goes for his pants pocket to reach for his keys, but he can't because he doesn't have pockets anymore. Just a wedding dress train/toga. And his eyes widen in understanding. I left my keys in my pants, back in,
Gigi nods, Paris, 1182.
She puts Barb's hands in Pete's. Now say your goodbyes. Pete takes Barb in his arms. She pulls a quarter magically from behind his ear and puts it in his shirt pocket.
Now don't go spending all that on pretty girls.
And she reaches up and pulls his earlobe. And Pete, my best friend and now an old, old man himself, cries like a baby. Hannah leads him away next to us on the fainting couch. Gigi leans down and kisses us both on the head.
I'll be back before you know it, old man.
And we watch as Gigi takes Barb's hand and walks confidently into the paradox.
Goodbye, Gigi. Please come home.